Hey, Tara Strong here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to the Cinema Geeks. I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me today, as usual, is the Comic Concierge, Dan. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Going wonderful. And we're here giving you a new episode of Cinema Geeks where we're going to kind of do something new and do something old because we used to do this all the time. It's been a couple minutes since we've done it, though. I think that's the lingo the kids use. So the last time we did one of these episodes was back in 2020. So about 5 years ago, folks. And that was one of our, we like to do stuff with movies every year. Usually we count down our favorite films. We'll do some like most anticipated. But we also like to have some fun with trying to play the prediction game when it comes to box office results. So that is what we're going to be kind of going over today. We're going to be talking about the box office and making some Nostradamus-like predictions for 2025 that I'm sure we both feel super confident in. And we'll see, you know, throughout the year and at the end of the year how we did. We usually kind of do a golf-type scoring system, and we'll get into more of that once it's time for the actual results. But Dan, do you even remember doing these 5 years ago?
I do. I remember doing it 5 years ago because it was obviously right before COVID hit. And always the thing was like, old movies get postponed, like, because that would usually end up you losing. And then, of course, that year we do it and, like, you know, there isn't really a box office. So crazy that was already 5 years ago, though. That's just nuts in my mind.
I didn't even think about that, but the fact that we made those predictions and we never really had results on it kind of makes sense, because I'm sure if we look back at the results, there aren't very much for that.
Yeah.
We're probably very much off the mark, you could say. So, and we've done this before with a few different co-hosts. It's just going to be Dan and myself doing it this year. We're going to break down our 10 through 1 on our predictions, and then we're going to each have a couple wild card picks that we're going to throw in there as well, just to make it a little different and fun. But since we've taken so many years off in doing the box office predictions and we're kind of getting back in the swing, I thought maybe it would be apropos to look at a few of the previous years just to kind of inform our opinions a little bit and kind of set the stage of what's been happening recently in the box office post COVID, and kind of see what kind of, because we did this a lot, you know, in year after year before that, and we kind of had different things that we knew, you know, this type of movie really scores well, you know, this genre scores well, or occasionally there's something that just really catches fire because of, you know, word of mouth or award buzz or different things. So we kind of knew a little bit about what would happen, you know, different franchises and things like that. But now it's been a little bit of time. So I'm going to go back and just do a quick snapshot of the last 4 years. So 2021, 22, 23, and 24, just to kind of set the stage as we make our 2025 predictions. And I'm sure by the time we're done looking at these past couple of years, I'm going to want to completely reorder my list, but we'll see how that goes, because I haven't actually looked at this in a while. So, Dan, do you have any guess as to post-COVID year one, 2021, not really post-COVID yet, but do you have any guess on the box office king from 2021?
That I do know, because I was looking it up. So it was, and it was actually one of the few movies I did see in theaters that year. Was it Spider-Man No Way Home?
Yes, it was. So Spider-Man No Way Home ran away with it. We're talking about huge gap between number one and number two. So typically when we look at this list, a lot of the number ones are usually north of 500 million, like 6, 7, you know, something like that is like 1, 2, and 3 might have a chance to be around that mark. And then you have like a number of them that are even in the 300s, and then probably a number of them that are in 200s. Usually when you get to that 9, 10, 11 spot, that's when you're not in the 200s anymore. You're in the 170 to 195 range. But 2021, Spider-Man No Way Home made 804, and the second place movie made 224. So it's not quite $600 million drop, but it's pretty dang close. And by the time we got to number four, we're not even in the 200s anymore. So it was Spider-Man No Way Home, followed by Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings comic book film, and then Venom, Let There Be Carnage, and then Black Widow. So we had a trio of comic book films, and that's another thing that's kind of interesting going into this next year is comic book films pre-COVID and comic book films post-COVID have been two different things. and from a critical reception, from a fan reception. So it's going to be interesting to see how we navigate that with a few of them coming out here in 2025. And then it was actually Fast and the Furious number 9, Eternals. And then we finally got to another animated film with Sing 2, and then No Time to Die. And I don't even know what that is. Do you remember what No Time to Die is?
Yeah, it's James Bond movie.
Oh, that's the, I'm sorry. I'm used to seeing like the James Bond or something first. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I forgot that was like that.
It was, the film. Craig's last movie. It was actually, I saw that one of the, I did see that in theaters as well. So,
okay. And then we had the sequel to A Quiet Place and Ghostbusters Afterlife. That was 2021. So that's kind of a mixed bag as people started to return to the theater a little bit. Dan, any guess on 2022? I would have never guessed this one is number one, by the way.
Oh god, I don't even know what movies came out in 2022, honestly. Like, everything kind of, I have no idea.
Totally get it. And before we get into this too much, I'm going off of boxofficemojo.com numbers. If I have some type of filter wrong, or if I'm looking at the wrong list, I apologize. Don't come after me with pitchforks, because I'm shocked that number two is not number one. But it says number one for 2022 is actually Top Gun Maverick at 718 million.
That makes sense. That movie made a lot of money. So,
and then Avatar: The Way of Water is listed second. I thought Avatar is just by rule is always number one when it comes out.
I think probably because Avatar, it came out in December, so it probably had like it split between 22 and 23.
Maybe that's what happened. So they have Avatar: The Way of Water listed at number two, and then it gets into a couple comic book films with Black Panther, Wakanda Forever at 450, 300 million. Doctor Strange was still in the 400s. Jurassic World Dominion. Then we finally get an animated film, which is weird because usually an animated film is in the top five, but number six that year was Minions, The Rise of Gru. Then we go back to comic book world for The Batman, Thor, Love and Thunder. And then interesting 9 and 10, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Any thoughts on 2022? Does that all sound like it lines up with kind of things that we had felt beforehand?
Yeah, I looked at Jurassic Park because that was something I considered, because obviously we'll probably talk about that later. I didn't realize Puss in Boots made that much, but that was a really good movie, so I'm happy to see that. So yeah
I didn't realize Sonic, Puss in Boots, or Top Gun made as much money as they did. But that's interesting for sure. And then going into 2023, a little bit more recent, Dan, do you have any guesses as to what was number one in 2023?
That I know, that's Barbie, right?
Yes, Barbie was 636. All these numbers are hundreds of millions, so 636. Then we had, I did not realize the Super Mario Brothers movie made this much, but it was 574. And then we had some comic book love with Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Then we went to the competition for Barbie with Oppenheimer, number 5. And then the live-action Little Mermaid, number 6. We may talk a little bit about that later. 7, I did not know Wonka made as much money as it did, but it was at 218. Then Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania at number 8. And then John Wick Chapter 4 and The Sound of Freedom came in at number 10. If we had done predictions that year, I would have got that wrong. So
I was actually, I knew Sound of Freedom made a lot of money, and I was actually trying to see, like, is there another Sound of Freedom for this year? But I couldn't. Right.
That's say. Another thing that we usually do, because we know like the comic book films have to be in consideration, right? We know some of the animated films, especially those from the major studios, have to be in consideration. And then some of the franchise films that we know about, like you mentioned Jurassic Park, sometimes certain Avatar we talked about. So some of those franchises, but there's always that one, like for this year, it would have been Oppenheimer, Barbie, and The Sound of Freedom. So you're always looking for like which one of those kind of catches fire based on, you know, word of mouth or just becomes popular in whatever way it takes. So it's always, that's the hardest one to predict, I think, is the non-franchise, non-comic book, non-animated films that usually there's a 1, 2, or 3 of them that make the list.
Yeah.
And then going into last year, it was actually pretty close at the top. Do you know which one was number one, Dan?
Trying to think, was it Deadpool and Wolverine, was that number one or no?
It was close. Deadpool and Wolverine is number two at 636. Nothing to shake a stick at there. Number one was Inside Out 2.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they were at 652, so just a, you know, handful of dollars there separating Inside Out 2 and Deadpool and Wolverine. Then it went to Wicked for number three, Then back to the animated world for Moana 2 and Despicable Me 4. That took the fourth and the fifth spot. And those are the end of the ones that were above 300 million. Then we go into some nostalgia feel here with Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice at number 6, made 294 million. Dune Part 2, then 8, 9, and 10. It gets a little bit, 8 separates itself a little bit. It was still in the 267. That's Twisters. So we had Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, and Twisters, kind of a little bit of a nostalgia feel there. And then 9, 10, and 11 are separated by like almost nothing. So 3 million between 9 and 10, and then 17,000 between 10 and 11. So Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire was number 9 at 196. And then Kung Fu Panda 4 at 193.59. And Bad Boys Ride or Die at 193.57. So, and then the other Sonic 3 was a couple million off. It came in at number 12. So any surprises there from last year for you?
I didn't realize that Twisters made as much as it did. I guess it makes sense, but no, I think everything in there, I would have thought Kung Fu Panda did better than it did, because considering that franchise, but maybe it was just since it's on the fourth one, it kind of, right. Although Despicable Me made a lot of money. I don't know. I feel like Despicable Me and Kung Fu Panda should switch, but you know, that's just me.
Right. And then there's a few more after that that may be in the rationale for how we do things for this year's, that Mufasa the Lion King came in at number 13, which I know that was a very late in the year release. And then Kingdom of the Planet Apes and Gladiator 2 were that rounded up the top 15 from last year. So we did have one Inside Out 2, Moana 2, Despicable Me 4, Kung Fu Panda 4. So we had four animated films, and then all the comic book films we had there would have been just Deadpool and Wolverine. And then obviously we have some different franchises with Beetlejuice. I guess you could call Twisters a franchise now. Godzilla X Kong is kind of a franchise. Bad Boys is a sequel. So Dune Part 2 kind of in a world of its own, and Wicked is its own phenomenon. So so that's kind of how we had for 2024. What kind of process or what kind of things, without giving away your picks, did you kind of look at, you know, 5 years removed from when we did this last, you know, a few years now past COVID, where it seems like things are somewhat getting back. I'm not saying that like box office overall is like back to where it used to be, but like the numbers are more lining up with like the amount that they're making compared to like the, you know, 2021 if era. So what was your process for going into this episode?
It helped that, I guess, kind of where we are with movies, but obviously a lot of the movies that are coming out are related to past films. So I did definitely consider that and what trajectory that those are on. And you mentioned Mufasa. We'll talk about that, of course, because we're getting a lot of live action animated movies this year. So it was trying to consider that, but also like some of the, like, where those ranked. And then just kind of trying to idea like where we're, like, I feel like we're in a bit of a transition. Like when it comes to movies, I do feel like this year, like I was actually, this was a lot harder than I thought it would. Like I thought it would be hard to, like, it would be easy just to find the 10 movies, but ended up having movies I thought were going to be in the top 10 that I didn't find a space for. So hopefully that's a good sign for this year.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
So I made a list of like, I just kind of went through our release calendar for the most part, which is another thing that we always have to like take into kind of factor in here, is that there are certain movies that are like locked into their release dates. And then there's like the to be determined gray area. You don't know if they're going to be released or not. And it's always iffy putting one of those in there. So we always kind of have to like walk that line a little bit when it comes to that. So I kind of looked through movies that were most likely coming out in 2025. And just as I was scrolling through, I was just making notes of like, hey, this one in my mind says it may make some money. And when I got done with that, I had about, I don't know, 35-ish movies on my list. But then it's funny because then you go to like actually like find comparables, which is normally what I do. I try to find, you know, if it's from a certain franchise, look at that. If it's from a certain genre, look at that, or a company, look at that. And sometimes there's really no comparable. So then you're just kind of throwing a dart at a board. But it was funny, as I was like looking at the 35, I always have like, I don't know, 10 of them that I'm like, oh, I guess that's not going to make anything. Just because whatever in my mind thought it would resonate with fans. But then I look at like whatever the closest thing is to it that it came out previously, and it's like, oh, that made like 50 million. So that's probably not going to do anything. especially with some of the franchises that you think are more successful than they are, I guess, or maybe they've just overstayed their welcome. I don't know. So it's kind of interesting. And then the other thing is I try to put some numbers to it because, like I said, generally there's somewhat of a rule of thumb. Like if you're above 200 million, you're typically going to be in that top 10 arena, unless it's just a banner year, then you might be fighting for that 10th spot. But generally that's about what it takes to get into the top 10. Sometimes that last couple numbers, 9 or 10, maybe closer into the 190-ish range, but that's about what they have to make to be there as far as what I remember. I haven't done a huge like research project to see how well that holds up, but like generally that's kind of where you're at. So kind of gets a little dicey once you get into that, I don't know, say like 160 to 200 range on what's going to make it and what's not. Any other rules or things you want to throw out there before we start going through the 10?
No, I think one thing we mentioned, we also are going to have like two wild card movies that are not in our top 10. And how we're going to do the rules, I guess, is we've done it different ways in different past class. Like in 2020, we actually did a draft, but it's doing a draft with two people would be kind of silly. So the way we're going to work it is, as Kevin mentioned, we will get points for if a movie, for example, is at, we put it in our top 10 and it ends up hitting 50th, we would get 50 points for that. So the goal is to try to get as little points as possible. But with our wildcard films, if a movie gets postponed, because that can happen, we can replace what's in our top 10 with one of our wildcard movies. Now that may help us or hurt us, we shall see. But so it should be interesting to see, because there's a lot of choices. I think we'll probably have a lot of similar movies in our list, but I think maybe in different places. So
right. And the other thing the wild card movies would do is if for somehow, I don't know how this would happen, but if for some reason all 10 of our films all came out, nothing was postponed, and we somehow ended up with a tie, then we'll go ahead and rank the wild cards and see what that does to our rankings. Do you want to do the wild cards first, or you want to save those till the end?
Let's do those first, maybe.
Okay.
Let's do those first, and I guess maybe I'll do my two wild cards, and then you can do yours.
Yeah.
So like this movie, I actually thought when I was doing this list would definitely be in my top 10, but I couldn't find a spot for it, so I thought maybe I'll put it here. And my first wild card is Dog Man. It's probably the first big movie coming out in January. I was hesitant to put it though because, you know, it's coming from, it's not DreamWorks, or is it DreamWorks? I forget what. But Dog Man is super popular. You know, it's the most popular comic right now. Dave Pilkey is hugely, you know, his books, those as well as Captain Underpants, hugely popular with kids. My thought though is that I don't think it's going to have like the crossover appeal of something like Inside Out. It gets adults as well. It's going to be mostly like kids and their parents, which will probably do well, but I don't know if it will do well enough to crack in that top 10. You know, it's not like Paw Patrol. You know, Paw Patrol is super popular with kids, but it doesn't resonate with older people. I think it's going to have a bigger range than that. But despite its popularity, I don't know if it's going to like get beyond that, like that, you know, adolescent range. So I put it in my wild card because I think it has the potential. If it gets good reviews, maybe it'll be like this year's Lego movie. But if it doesn't, I think it would probably be more likely in the teens or, you know, 10 at the most.
There you go. Yeah, that is done by, it is being produced by DreamWorks. So
I can't remember if it was DreamWorks or I know it wasn't Pixar or Disney. Couldn't remember.
Right. I think that's a good pick. I did see that on a few lists. I just don't know enough about the content to, you're very much more well-versed in that. So I trust you that is something like that. It's just not something that was on my radar, but I did see it pop up. So I think that's a good wild card pick.
My kid is a huge Dog Man fan. He reads all the books and stuff like that. So he's through Scholastic. If he had, remember Scholastic book fairs in the day. In my next wild card, another animated film, but I didn't put in the top 10. This one is coming from Disney. It's Elio. And I had this in the top 10 a few times, but I ended up taking it out just because I don't know where it's going to land, because there are so many known properties. Like, maybe it will be something like Coco, but what if it's not as good? So it's like, I don't know. It was hard to find a spot for it, so ended up putting it right out of my top 10, so that was my other wild card pick.
All right. I like both of them. I think they both have the potential there. Interesting, they're both somewhat catering towards the younger audience as well. I know you said Dogman, not necessarily like strictly kids, but I think those always have a good chance whenever there's a kid factor in there. So I think those are smart choices. I am probably going to regret putting this one as my wild card, but I feel like I'm going to regret both of these. I feel like one of the wild cards I'm picking probably shouldn't even be mentioned today. And I feel like the other one probably should be in my top five, and I'm just scared to put it there. So my first one, which is the one that I think probably shouldn't even be in the discussion, but I just never know with some of these types of films. I don't know how many times a biopic is it. If it's a true biopic, I'm not sure, but if it ends up in the top 10, I don't think a lot of them have. And when you go into the world of music, usually they do fine. Like Walk the Line did 119, Rocketman did 96, one of the most recent Elvis movies did 151. Even if you go back to 8 Mile, it only did 116. So like we're kind of up against it where that doesn't usually get enough to make it in the top 10. Bohemian Rhapsody, though, did do 216. And I feel like this could be in that spot somewhere. Or people maybe just completely sick of the topic and not even interested in going at all. I'm going with the Michael Jackson film, which is just entitled Michael, as a wild card, because if it gets the right type of word of mouth, maybe people will go see it, and maybe it can sneak into that 200, 215 range. And it just as well could make 117. So I don't know if it's smart doing that with a wild card, but I'm going with the Michael. I think it's just called Michael film as one of my wild cards.
Just Michael. Yeah.
Okay. The other one is probably going to end up at like number three, but I just am scared to put it in my top 10. So I'm also scared because I can't find it. It doesn't have a Wikipedia page. Not that that means anything, but it doesn't have a lot of information out there yet. And that to me is like, it's January. So that's not a lot of time to get everything done and like solidified, but maybe I'm just missing some steps in the research. When the first one of this film, I guess you can call it the first one of this film, came out, it did gangbusters, like 370 million. And if it comes out in April again, which I'm guessing is right around Easter, this thing could go bananas. So did you know that there was a Passion of the Christ sequel coming out?
No, I did not. Is this your
unless this is AI pulling a fast one on me. I've seen it titled Passion of the Christ Resurrection. I'm not kidding you. And it's scheduled for like April something, and Mel Gibson and Jim Caviezel are involved, which probably isn't a good thing. But Passion of the Christ, the Resurrection. The first one went bananas. So I feel like the second one could be number three all year, and it could not even be released this year. It could be a joke. Yeah. It could be an internet hoax. I don't know, but I'm putting it as my other wild. All right.
Is that going to be released through like Angel Studios that did the Sound of Freedom movie?
I don't know. I literally can hardly find anything on it except for it has an IMDb page and it says like April 18th release date, and it has people attached to it.
Okay. That was not at all where I thought you were going. I had no idea. Like, I was like, oh, okay, I think I'll tell you when, maybe at the end, where I thought you were going, but I was not expecting a Passion of the Christ sequel. No idea that was even a thing.
But right.
I agree. If you're right, if it does come out, like, especially around Easter time, because Easter is really late this year, right? It's like in April. So,
never know.
Okay. The more you know.
Those are my two wild cards. And by the way, we will probably talk about a few, like, things that we considered. I guess you can call it honorable mentions, but just like ones that we considered, we'll do that a little bit at the end in a kind of a closing discussion. So now that we got the wild cards out of the way, Dan, where are you going for number 10?
Well, you mentioned it already with one of your picks, and I'm going with Michael as number 10. I looked at Elvis like from 2 years ago. That did really pretty well. Like, it actually did much better than I thought it did. Mm-hmm. And Michael Jackson is just, I think people forget how hugely popular he was. You know, he people compare people to the Beatles all the time, but I think it was sufficient, like, when it comes to his popularity worldwide as well. So I don't know if the thing is, if it's a bad movie, maybe that will amper people, but Michael Jackson has so many fans. I think, you know, it has a potential. You know, I thought like there could be something that sneaks in there people aren't expecting. So because of that, and like you mentioned, usually biopics like do okay. So I feel like it has a good floor, as you know, looking in a fantasy football terminology. It may end up doing better like globally than domestically, because you know he has so many fans around the world. But right. I put it at 10. I think it has a chance that it will be in the top 10, but I could be way off.
The other thing that made me put it in a wild card versus a number 10 was I'm just not convinced on what people's level of burnout is with Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had like what was the documentary called, like Finding Neverland, or no, that's a movie. There was something Neverland, right?
On HBO.
And I feel like there was another one somewhere along the way, and I just don't know if that will factor into it. It's on the big screen, and like you said, there's such a legion of fans that, and he's such a pop icon that I still feel like people are going to go see it. It's just how well does it get received right away? Like if it's positive reception right away, like it can have some legs. And if it gets panned right away, then it could just die like instantly. So I'm unsure. I think it's a good pick though.
Yeah. If it like becomes like an event, like they lean into the music and it's like Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, that was like the last 30 minutes of that was basically just a concert. So if they do something similar, I could see it work. Again, it could bomb and like you said, people could not go see it, but I thought I would, you know, go with a little bit of a long shot for number 10.
And there is a Jackson playing Michael Jackson, correct?
I don't even know. Honestly, I didn't even look at
the cast. Oh, I think the director is Antoine Fuqua.
Okay.
And what I'm pulling up here right now is saying that Jafar Jackson is playing Michael Jackson.
There you go.
So that is also interesting. He's the son of Jermaine and the nephew of Michael. So that to me adds a little bit of credence to it, and like got a pretty big director involved with it. So
yeah,
I can see it. I can see it doing well. I'm going to do something. Go ahead.
Okay. What's your number 10?
Yeah. I'm going to do something similar to what you did, and I'm going to pick one of your wild cards. So for me, my number 10, just because I'm unsure if it's going to go, like we just had Elemental, which only did like 154. Coco did 210. Like I said before, usually 190, 200, 210 is where you're going to need to be to get in the 10th spot. So I am going to double your wild card pick there and say Elio for my number 10. It's hard right now in the world of Disney to know when they do one of their not known, like already established franchise films, how it's going to work. I feel like now, with things kind of getting back in the flow a little bit, that hopefully it will do all right. I don't think it's going to be like in the top five or anything. And like I said, if it only does 154 like Elemental, it's probably not going to even be near the top 10. So I'm a little scared to put it too much further up, but I think it might have enough just to creep in there at the number 10 spot. So that's where I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah. I felt very same way. So, I'm going to stay within the world of Disney for my number 9. And I mentioned how we're going to have a lot of live action animated films. And I struggled with those. I don't know where these should go. And for number 9, I'm going to go with Snow White. It's the first Disney movie ever. I don't know just how many fans there are of that. Like, I know obviously Disney has its fans, but like, I feel like when I talk to people, a lot of people have their favorite Disney movies. I don't know if I hear Snow White brought up a lot. And again, that's just anecdotal, but in some ways that's what you have to go off of. And the live action Disney movies kind of go all over the place. So in terms of like expectations and how well they did. So I don't feel like I've seen a lot of excitement for Snow White, the live action movie, because I don't know. And I felt like the preview I saw, like the dwarves look really weird. So I don't know. But it's also Disney, and it's also live action, and like even Mufasa like did it's doing good. It's not like the best thing ever. So I don't know. So I had I put it at number 9.
Closest one I can think of, like obviously there's been a ton of live action Disney films, and it's hard to equate which ones are comparable. You think Cinderella maybe because it's, you know, one of the classic princesses. Cinderella did 201 and came in number 9 back in 2015. 10 years later, we're getting a Snow White. Maleficent was like 241. I think that was a few years even before that. It, you know, when you're looking at more of the recent ones, it's, you know, Little Mermaid did 298. But I think that's hitting the right time. Like that was done at the right time because it was the kids that grew up with the animated Little Mermaid were now parents.
Yeah.
Able to take their kids to the film. So I think that's a little bit of it. We're not going to have that with Snow White. So it's really hard to say how that works. And I also have heard some negative buzz about it. So that is always worrisome when it comes to this type of thing too. And I think live action Disney is one of the hardest things to predict these days. So
yeah,
it's tricky. I'm not going to disagree with your pick though, because I may say more about it in a second. So, for my number 9, and maybe I'm underselling this one a little bit. There's been a number of films in this franchise. I am going to a franchise pick. Some of them more, the most recent 3 did 172, 195 and 220. And it needs to be on the, you know, kind of on that top end of those. It can't be down in the 172, which is what Dead Reckoning did. Rogue Nation did 195. Fallout did 220. So I'm going to go with Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, as something that's going to sneak in here right around number 9. So I have it somewhere in the 190 to 210, but I think it being, is it officially going to be like the last one? Is that?
I don't think it's ever, I don't know if it'll be the last one Mission Impossible, but it seems like it might be the last one Tom Cruise is in.
So I wasn't sure if that would give it a boost if people know it's like the last one, because I think some people are not paying attention to Mission Impossible anymore because it's just become like, they've become numb to it, but maybe there's still a lot of people that are like diehards. I don't know. I don't know how to predict this one. I almost put this one as a wild card, but I'm going to put it here at number 9, just kind of sneaking in here at the bottom of the countdown.
Yeah, and to spoil my list, I actually don't have it on my list. I thought about it. Same. I had it originally. It was one I thought when I did the list I was definitely going to have in my top 10, but you know, we mentioned how Top Gun did such a great number. It was the best, you know, the top performing movie. But then the Mission Impossible that came out the year before did good, but not as great. So I like you said, I wonder if it's just, I think it's getting harder to differentiate all those Mission Impossible movies. Like they all kind of feel very, I like them a lot. Like I'm excited for it. I'm going to probably go see it. But I do think, I wonder if like people like, okay, like he's already hung on the side of a plane. Is there anything like, what more can you do? I don't know. So I just thought like, there's going to be something that doesn't make it. And since it was, you know, trending downward, I put it right. I put it probably at like 11, but I didn't put my top 10.
Totally get it.
For number 8, I'm going to have, we haven't talked about a comic book movie yet. It'll be, and I'm going to get to one first superhero film on my list. And that's the Fantastic Four, the First Steps, I guess it's the subtitle of it. And I know Marvel's been all over the place as of late. You know, obviously Deadpool and Wolverine did great last year, but it was also the only Marvel movie we got. And, you know, they've had some disappointments. I don't know how Fantastic Four is going to do. I'm excited for it. I think it stood out to me because I feel like it might be something that is fresh and different for the Marvel Universe. It's supposed to take place in the past. Has Pedro Pascal, who's obviously super popular right now. So because of that, I felt like I had to put it someplace. But also, I do wonder about, you know, MCU burnout, like, you know, where will it land? So because of that, I put it at my 8th spot. So I felt like it'll be in top 10, I feel like, but I don't think it will be the top movie of the year. I don't know. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe it'll be like the Guardians of the Galaxy of this year. Who knows? But I put it at number 8.
I struggled with Fantastic Four a lot. Not to spoil anything, it's not on my list, but I can totally see it. Like, I just struggle with trying to predict anything from that franchise specifically.
Yeah. I mean, the other Fantastic Four films didn't do great, like the non MCU ones. They weren't. So I do wonder if there's just going to be confusion there because people are like, wait, is Chris Evans Johnny Storm? No, he's not. So
it's always, thought, you know, when something's getting rebooted like this, like it always has that chance where people just give it a fresh new chance, fresh new start.
Yeah.
You know, obviously people, there's something about Fantastic Four where people are hoping for a good Fantastic Four film, right? Like regardless of what you feel about the other, I think there's been at least three in recent times that have been released. If you're counting sequels and stuff like that. So I think the appetite is there for it. Again, I don't know how much this one's going to really depend on the initial reaction or the reviews or things of that nature, or if people are just going to go in regardless. It's, superhero films are getting a little bit harder to predict. They used to be pretty easy. You know, you could throw them up at your number one or number three or like whatever. And now it's not that case.
Yeah. So what is your number eight?
I'm going to be boring and pick one that you just picked at your number nine, I believe. So I'm going to go with Snow White here at number eight. I don't know. Like, I don't think it's going to be comparable to Little Mermaid. I don't think it's going to get up that high. I think it's going to have a chance, though, to sneak in the low 200s. And then it could get negative reviews right off the bat, and it could be like number 25. So it's really hard to tell. Like, I think enough people know Snow White, and I haven't seen the dwarf, so maybe that's something I should have looked at, because it's scary if that's not an appealing part, because I think that's one of the one reasons you go probably see Snow White is the dwarves and the music.
They're CGI animated. Maybe it's just me. I just like they look kind of. I don't know. They just looked off. Maybe that'll be the appealing part. I don't know.
I've also looked at nothing as far as who's been cast for this film or anything like that. So I'm going in completely blind with my prediction here. And I have heard already, like I said, a negative buzz. Some I don't know if people what people have seen of it or what they have to go off of for a negative buzz. But I've heard that a little bit. So it's a little bit scary for me to have it on my top 10, but I can't underestimate Disney, and they always have a shot of pulling something off. So I'm going to keep it here at number eight.
I might get some boomer love, so who knows? So we're at number seven. Again, like we're getting a lot of franchise films for me, but that's you look at the movies that made money this year, that was everything pretty much was a part of a franchise. So I'm sticking with one of the, this franchise is now near 30 years old at this point, and that's Jurassic World Rebirth. And I honestly didn't know this movie was even coming out this year. I thought they were done with Jurassic World movies. Maybe that was just wishful thinking. You've seen
how much the last couple have made. They're not going to be done.
Yeah. I thought the last Jurassic Park movie didn't make a lot of money. Like, in my mind, I think it was
376.
Yeah. So, which is good, but not as good as obviously Jurassic Park has done, much better, and especially if you can count for inflation. So, I do wonder though if it'll be a case like similar to, why they put Mission Impossible, that the last movie I thought was pretty bad. And it seemed pretty universal with that. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a lot of defenders for that last movie. This is all new characters now, so I do wonder, is there anything left with this franchise? But ultimately, still dinosaurs. Kids love dinosaurs. People love dinosaurs. So they can lean into that. I mean, King Kong and Godzilla, obviously very different, but same idea. It's spectacle. So I 10 years ago, I would probably put it near the top 10. Now I'm putting it at the bottom, near the bottom half of the top 10 with that number 7. But I had to put it someplace, so I put it here.
No, totally get it. Totally get it. I haven't looked too much as far as so this one's got Scarlett Johansson, Mahershala Ali, and Jonathan Bailey, who's kind of been, he was just in Wicked, I believe, as well. So Gareth Edwards is the director. I don't know if that instills too much goodwill for me. But it's hard. It's hard when sequels kind of keep going. You never know which one's going to drop off when it comes to the money making, because it does happen. Like we saw it recently with some of the Transformers movies that have come out that didn't do nearly as well as, the first four or five that Michael Bay did. So it's kind of hard to tell once you get into the fourth or fifth movies of a franchise. So I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. So
yeah,
my number seven is a crazy one for me, because at one point I didn't have this anywhere near my top 10. And then I was thinking, like, this would be a good wild card pick. And then I'm seeing it pop up on, like, everybody's list of, like, top three films from the box office for this year. And I'm thinking that I must be missing something. So I thought maybe I should give it another look. I did some comparables, which is almost impossible to do, I think, for this film. And some of them are good and some of them are bad. So it's like, I don't really know where to go with this one, but I guess I'm going to trust some folks on the internet, which seems like a dumb thing to do, and at least make a spot for this somewhere in my top 10. So I'm putting it at number seven, even though everybody says it's going to be top three. And I'm going with a Minecraft movie. And Dan, do you know more about this movie than I do, or more about the topic or the subject matter?
I do. Like... Well, my kids love Minecraft. So
okay.
I'll say it's not in my top 10. In large part because, like, I asked them if they're interested in it and they said no. So okay. and they love Minecraft.
But, so I have no idea. Like I looked at things like Dungeons and Dragons and Pixels and Jumanji and things like that. I don't think any of those are necessarily comparable. But then I'm also seeing like Super Mario did like 574. Not that this has anything to do with Super Mario, but I'm just like, I have no idea where this one's going to land. But apparently there's a good swath of people on the internet that think this is going to do 500 million or more. I can't get
Go ahead. Minecraft is huge. So like, and it's been huge for a while. It's still really popular. But I just see so much negative buzz about it. Like, just like a lot of negative react, which is hard. I mean, online, so everything's negative. But so it could end up making, like, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes that is all kind of just a smokescreen and people end up really enjoying it. But I don't think the trailer looks particularly great. Like, you know, has Jack Black, who I like, but it just feels like they just, like, okay, let's just, I don't know. It doesn't feel like a very inspired movie. It doesn't look fantastic. So. That's why I didn't put it in my top 10. I just like, I feel like that, looking at all the big blockbusters coming on, a bomb meter, if you know, like movies, maybe we should have considered that, like movies that will, but that to me has the highest likelihood of that happening, because it could end up being awful. What was that movie, Pixels, right? Like, that ended up being, like, you know, so it could end up being this year's Pixels or something like that.
Like, even the sequel to Jumanji did, like, 390, and I'm not saying it has anything to do with Jumanji, but, like, I just don't, like I said, it went from number, like, 25 on my list to a wild card, and now I'm sticking at number 7 because I'm just kind of, like, putting up the white flag. Like, I don't...
You might not being white, right? Like, it could be, like, you know, it is hugely popular, you know, it does look family-friendly. Jack Black is popular, but I don't know.
I do think you mentioned something good, though. I think for future years, we are going to have to make like a little side thing where we pick like three films that are going to bomb for like bonus points or something.
Yeah, it might be a good way of going it. Or, you know, the biggest losers or whatever compared to like box office versus budget or whatever.
Yeah.
So sticking in kind of, you know, similar vein, I had Dinosaurs last time. Well, I'm going with Dragons this time. Mentioned it was hard to kind of figure out what to do with these live action animated films. At first, like I didn't have How to Train Your Dragon in my top 10 because I'm like, I don't know, I just don't want it to exist. So that's kind of just like, I love that animated film so much. I'm like, I don't feel like it just looks like we're just doing this all over again, but in live action, but not really because most of it's CGI. I don't know. I don't understand. I understand the sense of why it's getting made for money, but whatever. But I have it here at number 6. That franchise is really popular. You know, I think, you know, with even have the animated series, that I think that's gained popularity. So I guess I ended up putting it here. I don't know. Like, this is something I don't know if we've seen another company do a live action animated film like this, like Disney has been doing. So that has me wondering like where it will land. But I ended up putting it here. Again, this could be another one that ends up not doing nearly as well, but I figure that with the popularity of the franchise, that there's a good... And Toothless is such a great character that maybe it will still end up working, so I put it at 6.
Yeah, I struggled with this one a lot. There was two, I guess, live-action based on animated films that I just didn't quite know what to do with this. I didn't know what to do with them. This one I thought for sure would be in my top 10. I'm actually somewhat surprised. I thought the animated films made more money than they did. Like, when you look at the three, there's only been three, right? Or has there been four?
Yeah.
Okay, there's been three. Three film animated films, and they were at 217, 177, and 160.
Yeah.
I thought they would have been way higher than that. And once I saw that, I was like, maybe I shouldn't have this in my top 10. And then I'm like, and it's also live action. I don't know what to do with this. So it's one that I had down, like, with a note next to it. Like, this is the one that you're going to regret not having in your top 10. So yeah. I don't have it there, but, like, man, I feel like it could easily be in top 10.
That's a good point of, like, I honestly thought the other movies, like, at least the first one did better. So now maybe regretting this a little bit, but, you know, if it ends up not making money, I won't be against it because maybe they'll stop doing this.
We'll have to have, like, there's been a lot of TV series and things like that. I know Universal in Florida is putting their whole How to Train Your Dragon theme park that's supposed to open, I think, this year. So maybe it's, like, going to time with that a little bit. I don't know. Like, maybe there's, like, a big movement for this type of thing. I just was a little bit caught off guard with, like, the non-Disney live action treatment and not knowing how that's going to go. So
we'll see. What's your six?
My number six, I am going into a world, like I said, that is seemingly hard to predict compared to what it used to be. You've already had one comic book mention in yours with Fantastic Four, The First Steps. For my number six, even though, again, I've heard some negative buzz around it and things of that nature, I got to go with at least one Marvel film in my list. So this is where I'm going to slot in Captain America, Brave New World. And I don't know, like, Captain America, all the Captain America movies have worked. So I know a bunch of the other Marvel films haven't worked. I know this is a different Captain America. I know there's different things out there with, like, some of the fatigue from the MCU and whatnot, but the other Captain America movies, 176, 259, 408, I don't know if it's going to be anywhere near that, but I think if it comes, like, somewhere in the bottom half of that, it's still going to make the list. I think maybe, like, 250, high 200s, low 300s, somewhere in there. So I am willing to give Captain America Brave New World a chance. So, and it could be even higher if it gets some good buzz, but like I said, I've heard a tiny bit of negative buzz around it, so I'm a little wary, but I can't not have Captain America in my top 10. Not going to let myself do it, so it's coming in here at number six for me.
Oh, I actually don't have Captain America in my top 10. I don't know. My concern with it was that people are going to be confused because the last Captain America thing with Sam Wilson was a TV show. And I do wonder if, like, people are going to be like, oh, is this coming out on Disney Plus? And then not realizing it's actually a movie. Which sounds silly, but I think that is part of the confusion with people, like, not knowing what's coming out where. I don't think the trailer looks all that great. It might end up being really good, but I don't know.
Hard one to predict.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. I went with Fantastic Four because it felt, like, a bit more fresh. But the other thing is Captain America also has a lot of time because it's what coming out in early, right? Like it's
April. Yeah, I used to always take more consideration into like the release dates and when they were being released and what they were competing with, which I probably should have this time. So I'll have to get back into the swing of things for like future years of this because sometimes they are competing with somebody else that's going to take some of that audience. So it's always kind of hard to tell. It has a Valentine's Day release date.
Yeah, so it's got a lot of time to kind of, it's the biggest movie for a while, so that had me thinking of, like, maybe I should have, because it might just get attention that way, so there's nothing else. You know, he's not packed in the summer with a bunch of other stuff, but I don't know. I was thinking of some of the other Marvel movies that didn't do as well, so I ended up keeping it off.
Totally get it.
But I'm staying in the world of live-action animated films. I'm not loving my list, but I don't make these movies. I'm just reporting on them. And sticking with Disney, and I'm going with the live-action Lilo and Stitch. I just think, you talked about how, you know, with Little Mermaid, it was, you know, people who grew up with that movie being able to watch it with their kids. I feel like that's even more the case with Lilo and Stitch. And I don't think Lilo and Stitch did, like, amazingly well when it came out, but I think it's one of the movies that has definitely gained more popularity throughout the years. I know, like, Stitch is like everywhere, and I think you've even seen Disney like use him in other ads and stuff like that. So I feel like they're really going to push this even more so. It has that cute factor. So because of that, I ended up putting it at number 5 as my, out of all the live action animated movies, I put it up the highest because I feel like it has the, you know, the nostalgia factor with a lot of people and the cuteness factor for like the younger kids. So I feel like that gives it a good chance of doing well. So I put it here.
I was afraid of Lilo and Stitch again. It was like one of those ones like that and How to Train Your Dragon. I just wasn't sure how to predict it, where it was going to go. Lilo and Stitch comes out May 23rd. Elio and How to Train Your Dragon both come out June 13th. So that's three of those films that are all going to be housed in theaters at the same time as each other. So I probably should have taken that into consideration. But
yeah,
because I have Elio on my list and it's literally sharing a release date with How to Train Your Dragon, which looks like it's only like 2-3 weeks after Lilo and Stitch. So I don't know how that's going to affect anything, but like I just, out of all the live action Disney films that have come out, like Lilo and Stitch was the one that made me have the most question marks. It was kind of like How to Train Your Dragon. Like it's a non-Disney one. And like, how are we doing this? And Lilo and Stitch was like a similar way. Like, okay, I know we've done like some of the animal ones with like Jungle Book and Lion King, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, now we're doing Lilo and Stitch. I don't understand. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I left it off my list, but I can totally see you being right.
When I was at the theater to see Moana 2, though, like it, like of all the movies that kind of, that and Paddington 3 got like the biggest reaction. So that had also me, that also, I think, impacted my influence of putting it on here because like I was surprised with how well that was received. Like it, there was a lot of excitement for that. But again, just anecdotal, but still, it's just,
what it comes down to this. Is like there hasn't been, like I know you said like the characters are, have been present and like in other stuff, but there also hasn't been like any movies about Lilo and Stitch recently. So it may be, it's not going to be something that people are like tired of. It's not going to be like burnout mode. So maybe it's going to be like enough time has passed where like this hits a sweet spot and people are ready for it. So
yeah,
I can totally,
they've been putting like Stitch in like other trailers for other movies and stuff like that. So it's just like, it's interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
So I'm going to be a little bit repetitive with my number 5 because it's one you've already talked about, and I just refuse to underestimate the power of dinosaurs. So I'm gonna put Jurassic World Rebirth here at my number 5. Like I said, even the last one, which wasn't that great of a movie, did 376. I think people just like the spectacle. They like the summer blockbuster where they can go see giant dinosaurs causing havoc. I think this is a July, right around July 4th ish, like July 2nd, somewhere in there. So it's going to be like a holiday weekend release. I don't know. Like, people just love dinosaurs. Like you said, like, my daughter is 4 and she's obsessed with dinosaurs. And she won't watch a animated movie because she's scared of the villain. She watches Jurassic Park and doesn't blink an eye. Like, I don't understand. Like, there's dinosaurs tearing people up. And she's like, not scary at all. The bad guy in Mission in Despicable Me, I got to leave the room. It's too scary. So I don't know. Like, Jurassic Park and Jurassic World and all the different dinosaurs just will always be popular for kids. And so I think, you know, kids of a certain age are always going to make their parents drag them to these films. So I think it's enough to be in the top 10 for sure. Where it falls within that top 10, that's the question. I'm putting it in the top half.
Nice. Yeah. Like you said, your dinosaurs are super, super popular. That's always going to be the case. So, and
my daughter was literally like Jurassic Park, the first one, she's watching it. She was 3 at the time. We're bad parents. Yes. and the end scene where they're flying away from the island, she's literally crying and waving to the dinosaurs and upset that they're leaving them on the island. I was like, don't worry. They didn't learn their lesson. They come back for another one. So, she was very upset that they were leaving the dinosaurs alone. So interesting, before you go into your number 4, that we've been all over the map. You know, we talked about how we probably would have some crossover and it's just a matter of like where we put stuff. But so far there's been quite a few films on both of our lists that haven't been on the other person's. Now we're getting into the top 4 and I'm wondering if our top 4 is going to be the same.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it'd probably be very close. I think it probably same movies, maybe different order. We shall see.
Yeah.
My number four is my highest superhero film, which is Superman, at my number four. You know, with DC, it's like, even with Marvel, you know, we talked about Marvel struggles. DC had a lot of struggles too, with The Flash kind of, you know, faltered a huge deal, but now it's supposed to be this new DC universe. I did wonder though, like, because, you know, for general audiences, is it going to be confusing because we're dealing with a new Superman? Like, are they going to wonder? Do people realize that what this is exactly? But then, like, the fact that, like, this was one of the most watched trailers ever within, you know, the time it came out, I feel like it does. It seems like it might be preaching a message of hope, which people may need this year. Mm-hmm. So, considering all that, I ended up putting it here at number four. It may end up being like doing it even better than this, but like I mentioned, something you're putting it higher than four was just wondering if like the confusion with like all the different changing within the DC world, and you know, Man of Steel did really good, but wasn't like the top movie of its year. So is there a ceiling with a Superman movie? Maybe there is, I don't know, but I ended up putting it here.
So the other three Superman films that have come out recently were 200, I guess recently, meaning like the last 25 years, 200, 291, 330. And then this one obviously is somewhat of a, I know Jurassic World's the one titled Rebirth, but it's almost like this one is in a way. And like you said, the trailer went bananas. People lost their mind on it. And I think people are ready to give DC another chance for that character. So I'm in total agreement here. I have Superman at number four as well. Nice. And the interesting thing here is there's three films that come out in July, with Jurassic World on July 2nd, Superman on July 11th, and Fantastic Four on July 25th. But then after that, there's not another film, I feel like, that competes with those guys until like November. So I feel like they have the whole second half of the summer to just those three films make money. I don't know how much they'll cannibalize each other, but I don't feel like there's a lot of stuff that's going to come in the ensuing like weeks or even months that's going to knock them out of the theater. So they may have some staying power and some legs. I just feel like the buzz is the right type of buzz for Superman. So that's why I have it making somewhere around 350. And I think that's going to be good enough for number four.
Nice. All right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we'll have them in the same order. We'll see. For number three, I have Wicked for Good. The first Wicked obviously did super well last year, and I feel like it's only gaining steam. I know, like, it just hit home video, or not home video, whatever you want to call it. And I think it's going to be one of those movies that becomes even more and more popular. And I think popular, you know, like the song. And I think, I honestly think the sequel may have a chance of doing even better. You know, people end up like, who missed it in the first one in theaters, don't want to do that again for the second film. So I thought about putting it even higher, but I couldn't. So I ended up putting it Wicked at number three.
Good stuff. Yeah, obviously it was number two last year. So it's a sequel that's coming out immediately. So can keep riding that momentum. I think that's good. For my number three, I'm going to go back to the world of animation, though. I know it's a sequel, and sometimes those drop off a little bit, but for some reason, I don't think this one will as much. So I'm going to go with Zootopia 2 at number three. I went back and forth between Zootopia, Superman, and Jurassic World to me. I couldn't decide what order those were going to go in. And this is also the space where I think if The Passion of the Christ 2 comes out, could be within that group as well. But you never underestimate animation when it comes to box office. Zootopia 1 did 341. So I think this one, at least 350-ish, is where I have it at. Could do more. So I have Zootopia 2 at number 3.
Oh, well, I will hold off for that for a bit, because at number 2, I think we might differ here. I actually have Avatar, Fire and Ash. And I probably have to explain why that is. One, I worry this isn't coming out, if I'm being honest. Because we've seen, and since we've been doing podcasting for movies, I feel like we've been talking about the Avatar sequels forever. And, like, they've been postponed a lot. Like, I feel like by this point, when we first talked about them, they were all supposed to be out by now. So I have this sinking feeling that it ends up getting postponed. I didn't want my top film getting postponed, so there was a little bit of just mind games.
I like it.
But also, it's getting released late in the year. So again, like we talked about how like Avatar, when we were going through it, like was kind of split up between years and that impacted it. So that was my other thought. But obviously, it's still Avatar. And I know people don't love those movies. Some people do. They clearly have fans. Like, you know, don't doubt James Cameron. The dude just makes biggest movies of the year every time he comes out with something. So, but again, my one big apprehension is that this ends up not coming out this year because we haven't really seen or heard much about it. So because of that, I put it at 2.
Yeah, I totally get it. The Avatar sequel that took 25 years to make originally, I get it. So for my number 2, I'm going to go to what your number 3 was. I'm going to go for Wicked for Good at number 2. I think this is going to, you know, first one's 438 currently. Could climb a little bit here with its last time in the theater. I mean, usually it counts as long as the movie goes out. I may have had a filter on wrong for that one Avatar, because typically you count all of the box office for that film, regardless of if it happens in the next year. But I think Wicked for Good hopefully will build on the momentum even a little bit more. It's tricky for those that know the story Wicked and know the Broadway show or the, you know, the stage show. Typically, it's broken into two acts, and the first film was the act one, and this next film will be act two. And typically, most people like act one like immensely more than act two of the stage play. But act two is where you're going to get the tie-ins from Wicked to Wizard of Oz. So it kind of depends on how that goes. You know, most of the most famous parts, famous songs, etc., are in that first act. So I don't know if that'll hurt it at all or not, but hopefully they can fix the coloring of the dang film. For anybody that's seen that, I now know what it would be like to watch a film with like driving into the sunrise and just having the sun just like washing out everything that you're trying to look at, which was the most disappointing thing for the first Wicked for me. But I think it's still going to be popular, like Dan said, and I think it's going to make a ton of money. So I'll watch it at some point. So I'm going to put it here at number 2 for Wicked for Good.
All right. Well, my number 1, you talked about already, and it's Zootopia 2. I kind of just played it safe, and partially I think I was influenced since Inside Out 2 was the top film of last year. But I just think it's a safe bet. Like I said, that was my big concern with Avatar. It was popular. It did really well, and I feel like it's coming out in November, so it's got, you know, I feel like Disney movies tend to do really well there. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my idea. Like, it's kind of one of those picks. It's like, you know, picking up that fantasy football player that it may not be. They're always in the top 10. They may not be number 1, but like they're never lower than 5. And I feel like this probably, I don't see this being lower than 5 or 4. So I feel like I played it a little bit safe and put it at number 1. Will it be the top film of the year? Maybe not, but I think it unquestionably will be in the top 10 someplace, and I think probably more so in the top 5. So that's why I put it at my number 1.
Yeah, I have a hard time finding it not being in the top 3. Like, I think top 5 is guaranteed. I think top 3 is pretty likely. It's hard to say, you know, with some of those, how they're always going to turn out. Like, I just, for me, I have to put Avatar at number 1 just because there's been like, what, 2 Avatar films, and they're like 2 of the highest grossing films ever. So like, I do get what you're saying though, that it could definitely like be pushed and not end up coming out in 2025. So that would be risky, and I guess I'm taking that risk. But, you know, last one made 684. If it does 100 less than that, it's probably still number 1. So I have to put Avatar number 1, but like I said, it was, to me, it was Avatar and Wicked I was going back and forth with, but I totally can see Zootopia doing exactly what Inside Out 2 did and coming in number 1. So it's a toss-up between those few. And then, like I said, I think Superman and Jurassic World are fighting right after that for me personally, but you never know. So interestingly enough, we had, I think, 3 films, at least 3 films that were independent to our list. So you had How to Train Your Dragon, The Fantastic Four, and Lilo and Stitch as your specific ones that were not on mine. And then I have a Minecraft movie, Captain America and Mission Impossible. So otherwise we did have all of the same ones, whether it was a wild card or in our top 10 somewhere. It's just the ordering went a little bit different. Deanne, what were some of the other ones that you really struggled with or thought about or debated with yourself on if they might be? We don't have that one on our list that's like the Sound of Freedom or the Barbie or the Oppenheimer. We don't have the, I guess Passion of the Christ could be kind of like that, but we don't have that non-franchise, non-animated film that snuck in there. Was there anything like that that you saw, or was there some other franchise ones that you debated with?
Didn't really see anything along those lines. I could be wrong, but I couldn't find anything that was like that type of movie. Everything else I thought about, you know, was tied to some sort of franchise. We talked about some already, so I won't talk about like Captain America again. But I thought about Megan 2.0, just because with horror, like, you know, horror movies can do pretty well, but usually horror does well in the sense of like making money because the budgets are low. And the first Megan did well, but I don't think it would get in the top 10. I thought heavily about 28 Years Later, because literally, like, in a movie that's, it's not necessarily 28 years in the making, but it's pretty close to it. I love the first film a great deal, and the second one too. And a lot of people have been waiting for this, and the trailer was legitimately one of the best trailers I've seen in years. But again, it's a horror film, rated R, so that tends to like limit it. It's like box office, like usually, you know, there are rated R movies in the top 10, but it's much harder. So I thought about it, but I ended up not going there. And yeah, that's pretty much. And the other things that you mentioned, like Minecraft, I thought about that as well, but I couldn't really find anything that wasn't a franchise that I thought had a chance, because, you know, looking at where we're at, kind of the case. But I don't know if there was anything that you saw that was not mentioned that maybe has a chance of doing well this year.
There was a poll that I debated myself with a little bit. Some of them I just don't know enough about the project to know if it's like as holds as much weight as maybe some of the other things that have come previous in its franchise or things of that nature. So one of them that came to mind was there's apparently a Star Trek film coming out, and I don't know if that's going to be like full on like feature film, all the hoopla and stuff like that, or if it's something different. So that may just be my ignorance and not doing enough research on it. The Star Trek Section 31.
Okay. And I didn't know if that was like a Paramount, like if that was actually like in theaters movie, or if that was like a, so that's why
I left it off. Yeah, I left it off because I wasn't sure how that was going to go. If it is a theatrical release with all the hoopla, then it could very well be. I mean, two of the last three have been in the 200 somewhere. So you never can underestimate, you know, that fandom. And I am a big fan of Star Trek, so that's probably losing me a lot of points that I don't know more about what the situation is with this film. There was another one in a similar way, the John Wick spinoff called Ballerina.
Yeah.
The last two John Wick movies did 170, 187. That's probably not quite enough to get in top 10, but flirt with it a little bit. And I don't think Ballerina will have as much of a hype around it, but could be wrong. It could be what, I don't know. Like once you have some sequels and then you have TV series that are coming out, I think it gets a little confusing for folks. And what they've seen, what they haven't seen, and all that type of jazz. So I was a little scared of that one to put it on my list. Going back to the nostalgia factor, Karate Kid Legend.
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, like the one that came out in 2010 made 176. Now we're talking about 15 years later. So I don't know. Like, is there enough nostalgia for that one to kind of creep in there? I think it'll do well. I don't know how, if it has enough to like get over the hump type thing. And the same thing, almost the same exact thing for the newest Tron movie. So there's a film called Tron Ares. Tron Legacy did 172. So it's just like with Karate Kid and Tron, is there something about this particular release that's going to give it a boost to get over that hump and get it into like the top 10? I'm not sure. I haven't heard enough about those two.
Yeah.
And then briefly, there's one other comic book movie, obviously Thunderbolts. So I looked at that for a second just because it's a comic book movie, so I have to consider it. And then there's another SpongeBob movie. I know SpongeBob has a big following. I think one of the SpongeBob movies did like 162, but then there was one that came out like in COVID, so nobody got to see that. So maybe they'll want to see this one. Hard to tell. So those were some of the ones that I kind of looked at.
Yeah. As potential. And I forgot to mention, like, I mentioned Paddington, like the Paddington in Peru, mm-hmm. like that. I know, you know, Paddington 2 was so well received that maybe, like, I could see that potentially doing really well. There's that F1 movie, that like racing film with Brad Pitt. So that's coming out in the PAX summer. So I feel like that could be, maybe it's like people will be looking for something that's like not a superhero film. So maybe that will end up doing well, but I you know, who knows? It's not sure. Cause like I try to look at like Gran Turismo and like other racing films and they do okay, but I wasn't comfortable putting it in the top 10. And then apparently there might be a Naked Gun coming out, but yes, I don't know.
I guess. also, what you did last summer coming out.
I mean, yeah.
Like millions.
But I also feel like Naked Gun is, you know, like without Leslie Nielsen, like, can it work? And, you know.
Liam Neeson's not going to carry it?
Oh, not Liam Neeson. Jesus Christ. Oh, man.
No, you said Leslie Nielsen, but Liam Neeson is who's playing in this movie.
Oh, is it? I didn't even.
He's the main star.
Which actually, he can be pretty funny. Like, if you saw him in, like, he's done that, was it The Big Short? I forget the movie, the show with, I can't think of the actor's name. Anyways, but he's got that great, you can find a clip online when he's trying to be a comedian, and he's talking about, like, he has a Schindler's List joke, and it's just really, so, if he can keep, maybe, I don't know, maybe that'll do well, who knows, but, and, yeah, so there's, and I also, like, anytime there was a movie that was slated but didn't have a trailer or a poster or anything like that, I'm like,
tricky.
I stayed away from it because, like, you know, like that just feels like there's a good chance. Like, there's the Predator movie coming out potentially in November, but like, I'm like, I don't know. I love the last one, but will it come out? Will it even be in theaters? Like, or, you know, will it just go to direct? So that's, I try to stick away. I try to go with more of the sure bets, but we'll see how that goes.
Absolutely. So kind of in wrap up, do you want to go through your top 10 just so we have them all in one sure. spot? You can start with your two wild cards and then just go 10 through one.
Sure. So my two wild cards are, first, I have Leo is one of my wild cards, as well as Dogman. And then at my number 10, I have Michael. Number 9, Snow White. Then the Fantastic Four. First Steps at 8. At 7, I have Jurassic Park. And then at How to Train Your Dragon. Live Action at 6. Lilo and Stitch at 5. Superman at 4. Wicked at 3. Avatar at 2. And then at number 1, I have Zootopia 2.
Right. And for my list, I had Michael as one of the wild cards and Passion of the Christ Resurrection as another wild card. Then I went with Elio at number 10. Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, 9, Snow White, 8. Where is my 7? A Minecraft Movie, 7, Captain America, Brave New World, 6, Jurassic World, Rebirth, number 5, Superman, number 4, Zootopia, 2, number 3, Wicked for Good, number 2, and Avatar, Fire and Ash at number 1. So, if you agree or disagree with our picks, or you want to put your own prediction together, you can always do that and leave a comment on the episode post, or just send us a message on Blue Sky or Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or wherever you can find one of our social media accounts. And we would love to see what other people's predictions are. Dan, how can people keep in touch with you?
The best place is probably on all the social media sites. I'm Comic Concierge, Twitter, TikTok, if it still exists, Facebook, Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram. God, there's so many social media places. You can find me all there.
Yeah, so just search out Comic Concierge for that. You can search out the show name on a number of those as well with the Cinema Geeks, or you can look at me individually, and that would be at Optimus Solo in the various social media sites as well. So that is our box office predictions for 2025. We're going to come back next time and give you our most anticipated films of 2025 as well, and then we're going to kick off a new series where we're going to be going through 10 films from the iconic director Alfred Hitchcock. So that should be a lot of fun. Dan, have you started looking at your most anticipated films yet?
I kind of did both of these at the same time. So yeah, like I think I talked about at least one movie. Maybe it was in my top 10, maybe it wasn't. That will definitely be in my most anticipated. So
can't wait to hear what you're looking forward to. So we'll bring that to you guys next time, and that'll be your next chance to listen to more of the Cinema Geek.